This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hi there, and welcome to Scout the Game Week. Scout the Game Week is Fantasy Football Scout's weekly podcast brought to you by the Scout Network. In each episode, we'll look back at the game week we have just played to assess what we can learn to help us in the next round of fixtures. I'm your host, Ryan, from Football Chatbox. Let's scout the game week. This week, I'm joined by Quentin from FPL Amateurs of Oz podcast. How are you doing, mate?
Yeah, not too bad. I think just finished speaking about how uneventful this morning's been in the fixtures. So, not too bad apart from that. But as I said, got the netto clean sheet. So that's probably the only happiness I'm feeling at the moment.
Fair enough. I don't even have that. I wish I doubled up on Bournemouth defense or even got a single Bournemouth defender in 28 and I didn't. Now I'm paying for my sins. Here we are. So we'll see. Obviously, we are recording this after day one of Game Week 31. And the Arsenal, there's later tonight or early morning for us, basically. We've got the Arsenal game and also City playing as well. So I've got triple Arsenal with two Arsenal attackers. So I'm hopeful, but whenever you be hopeful in FPL, it always like returns. The returns aren't there with the same level of hope. So we'll see. We'll wait and see.
It's better just to set the bar low, mate.
I know.
And then build from there.
I know. Every week, just hope for a red arrow. And then if you get a red arrow, it is what it is. If you get a green, it's good. But let's start. Like I said, we are only at day one at the time of recording. So we still have a few more big games to go, which could impact what happens in Game Week 32. But having said that, let's still have a look at the upcoming Game Week 32. So let's start with Spurs. Now, they did play in 31, and defensively, they have been unable to keep any sort of clean sheets. And I did watch the highlights as well, the extended highlights against West Ham, and it looked like West Ham were the ones that were dominating the game majority of the time. Now, they're about to play Forest, who just scored 3 against Fulham. But it is a home game, so with Spurs defense, what do we do? Do we keep them? Do we sell them? Is it even worth buying the Spurs defender for those who are looking to like wildcard late as well? What's the play?
I was having a look at it today. I think you move away from the Spurs defense just because the way Ange plays does leave them vulnerable to the counter. And like you said, West Ham had some really good chances, actually. Like, I think Kudus had a couple of good chances. Bowen had a couple of good chances. And just looking at their fixtures, I think like there's maybe a couple of good fixtures, but I think with the blank in 34, I think you're wanting to move away and look elsewhere. And this season we've seen, or lately, the defenders have been really bad. So you could, you know, pick the best defenders and they're still not getting points. So I think moving away and maybe downgrading and using that money elsewhere in your team is probably the go for me.
Yeah, fair enough. Now, there was another defender who performed today in Ed Nuri. I've got myself a Pedro Porro, and unfortunately I have no money in the bank at the moment, so I need to like sell Porro to free up anything to like make moves elsewhere. And I'm wondering, do I play Porto against Forest this week, or do I like take the punt on Nuri? Because let's go to Wolves. They had a draw against Burnley, but I don't know. I don't think Nuri was playing fullback. I think he was playing basically like a winger slash forward from the highlights that I saw. Apart from him, are there any other Wolves players that are interesting for the upcoming weeks?
I was kind of just looking like Wolves defensively are a little bit hit and miss, but at home they're a lot better, and the majority of their homes on the games on the run home are all home. So I think there might be six home games left that they've got to play, or five, and they've got two in the double, which I know one's against Arsenal, so probably write that one off, but the other one's a decent fixture. But maybe I was looking at Jose Sarr. So his debut season, he was really good, got save points. And if Wolves' defense can play a little bit better, where, as I said on the show we're on last night together, you want your defense to not be great, but also only give up low percentage shots, so then, you know, the keeper can get the save points. So Jose Sarr's actually sitting at about 67% save percent. So I think he's ranked maybe about sixth overall out of all the keepers in the Premier League at the moment. So with their fixtures, and if they can keep it a bit tighter at home, I think he could be a bit of a smoky option there in the goalkeeping department. Because we were talking about goalkeepers last night, the likes of Neto and Leno, and maybe going up to a David Raya or an Onana or someone like that. But people that have bench boosts left actually don't mind the play of having Jose Sarr as that second option sort of on the bench for your bench boost.
Yep, fan, especially for like 34 bench boost, definitely a good option. He hasn't been spoken about too much, because I think it's just that they've had the Arsenal fixture, and I think the other one is Bournemouth, if I'm not mistaken. So from a clean sheet perspective, you don't expect them to kind of concede because of the game. I mean, so you expect them to concede because of the games. But I mean, before that, we've got West Ham and Forest. And I'm thinking now, obviously, Pedro Porro plays Forest this week. But I'm wondering if I should just bite the bullet and get Ant Nuri against West Ham this week. Although Nuri could concede, but he could also score from what we've seen.
Ant Nuri does play really attacking, which is probably the best asset. Defensively, he's all right. But when he's getting consistent games, you see him pop up in like the box and you're like, oh, who's that? And then you look and it's like Ayton Nori, and you're like, why is he playing like a wide winger?
Exactly. So I think I might actually do it, because like even Porro is not as attacking as Nuri at this moment. So if both of them are going to concede a clean sheet at this point in the fixture that's coming up, I might as well take the punt on the more attacking fullback, I guess.
I was even maybe looking at a couple of City options that are a bit cheaper than Pedro Porro, which could be maybe an alternative, depending on obviously.
That's also true, because I did consider that, because I already have a backline. So I'm planning to dead end in 34. So my backline has the likes of Branthwaite, Gabriel, and who was the other defender that I got? Oh, Van Dijk. So I've basically got like a back three for 34 effectively. So do I really want to add another defender? If I do, I probably bench Branthwaite instead. But he has Forest and Liverpool. I don't mind the Forest game, to be honest. So then I go, okay, maybe should I just go for a City defender instead? Because they have Palace and Luton.
Yeah.
32 and 33, which is not too bad. And they have the early kickoff. So maybe we get some leaks and we know what City defender is starting as well.
Because I think looking at the two options there, like, if you got a Kanji 4.9, then you've got Vardy Earl on 4.8, and Kyle Walker's out injured. You've got, I think, the only really center options at the moment are Diaz, Akanji, and Stones.
Yeah. Is Stones three. Is fit, or was he also?
He's not flagged anymore, so unless he's been declared fit, but Kyle Walker looks to be out for a little bit. Ake's out for a little bit. Rico Lewis, yes, can play, but I think Vardiel, now that he's back fully fit, I think he's going to start most weeks, and he has that BPS potential as well. So because he's quite creative.
So you'd lean more towards Gabriel, or would you lean towards Akanji instead?
I think it's going to come down to budget, because as you know, when you're planning your wild card, sometimes it's 0.1 could be a massive difference on how your team looks. So I think Akanji is probably the most consistent one that's going to be playing more minutes, just because he is central, and Rico Lewis can play out wide. But I think both are great options. It just depends on obviously how much you have, but they're only 0.1 difference. So I think either for me, I think are both good picks.
Fair enough. Okay, so that's something I need to consider because it's either that or I go Nuri, and I still don't know which one. I'll have to have a look in terms of budget because Nuri and the City Defenders are there is a slight difference in there. So I need to see if that impacts any like moves that in 34.
Yep.
All right. Now, so that's Wolves, and we've touched on Spurs as well. Let's move to the big game this weekend. Manchester United take on Liverpool. How do you see this game going?
Oh, I really hate making predictions for this fixture because I think we were in a good run of form the year that they beat us, what, 7-0 or 6-0 or whatever it was. And I was quite confident that we could do something in that fixture. And then, yeah, we got put to the sword. But I think there's going to be goals in that fixture. I actually think Liverpool are quite vulnerable at the back as well. I don't think with no Trent, Robbo's, you know, 50-50 whether he plays or not. I think that they're a little bit vulnerable at the back. So I think there's going to be goals in that fixture. But I think Liverpool are good enough to get the job done, especially if what's at stake for them compared to us. Like, we do want to finish top five. But I think the urgency from Liverpool to, you know, push for the top of the table still, I think that could push them over the line. I think, you know, it wouldn't surprise me if there was a minimum of 4 goals in that game. So yeah, no clean sheets. Maybe plenty of save points for Onana.
Probably, maybe. So I've got triple Liverpool for this week with Darwin, Salah and Virgil. Now, initially I was thinking, like, I was wondering whether I should bench Van Dijk or not. But then there's obviously the opportunity for him to get, like, a headed goal from somewhere. Given that we're so bad at even set pieces, United are pretty poor. So I don't mind starting all three Liverpool players. Initially, I was looking to bench at least one just because of the fixture. Yep. You think United will score, which most likely they will. But they've just been... the amount of shots that they concede, it's just so hard to like kind of ignore. I was doing... you know how Rob T, he makes his predicted goals stat? So on my channel, we've been tracking the predicted goals with the actual XG to see where the teams... they beat it or they underperform it. And I was today working on something new where I was looking at the opposition to see whether when they played certain teams, whether they... So let's say, for example, United, whoever they played, whether the opponents actually met the XG that they were supposed to meet. And since Game Week 26, every single team that has played United has either met their XG or overperformed the XG that they were supposed to get.
Well, I think, like, I was looking at the goalkeepers, like, Onana and Alisson are both top two for, save percentage. So, for me, that feels like the defense is allowing shots to get those saves. And I think Martinez is back for United now, so that could change things a little bit. So, we're probably going to be playing Johnny Evans and Maguire central pairing, which I hate. I hate for passion. I think Maguire's good, but Johnny Evans is very hit and miss, I think. So that could spell trouble for United.
Yeah, I think, because there was, let me find it. So Martinez and Lindelof, at least a month, both of them out.
Yeah, so that's good news for us anyway.
So Maguire, I think there's, I feel.
Like, it wouldn't surprise me if it's a high scoring fixture. Yeah. I'm hoping that we can, you know, now that Hoyland's back, we can get some goals, and we do have the potential to get goals, but I definitely think we're going to concede a few. So I think defensive assets from United, don't even look at it.
Yep, fair enough. All right, then Liverpool, Bradley and Kelleher. A lot of people, obviously, on wildcards and everything went there. I guess you keep them until they end up losing their spot, probably.
Yeah, I think you'd have to. I think there's... I haven't seen an exact timeline of when Alisson's going to be back. Yep. So I'd just hold Kelleher. And, like, you know, worst case scenario, you can upgrade to someone like an Ariola or a Dvraka or someone like that. Because I think I heard a rumour that Dvraka is going to have the starting spot for the rest of the season.
Yeah, Pope is out for the rest of the season. Yep.
Yeah, even, so...
Even then, he's so bad. But yeah.
But he is great for save points. He does have a lot of saves this season. I think he's ranked top three for most saves this season.
Yeah, but then the last couple of weeks I've started him and he's got two saves and hasn't got that save point. I'm like, make another save, man. But no, he doesn't. Because Newcastle keep conceding so many shots, so like he tends to get opportunity. Actually, Speaking of Dubravka, let's go to the next one that I had for you. Now, I don't think I can get you on this podcast and not talk about Muniz, because Fulham played Newcastle this week, and I've mentioned Dubravka in goal just can't seem to keep clean sheets. Now, Muniz didn't get anything from Forest, but is he still a good play this week against Newcastle? And what do you think?
Yeah,
how did he see the game?
Yeah, I think he is. Newcastle, I think I said it on our stream last night, they were on that. I think they've looked a bit shaky defensively. Mm. Trippier hasn't been playing. They've got a few injuries at the back there. I think Dan Byrne, he started. I just don't think they've looked great defensively, and they're giving up a few chances. And Muniz is the type of player that he doesn't need a lot of chances to sort of to get something. And if he gets one or two chances, there's a good chance that he's going to finish at least one of them. So, and I just, away Fulham, I think a Fulham fan on the stream last night said that away they are a little bit hit and miss, but at home they're a lot better. So just looking, yeah, so they're at home against Newcastle. So I'd favour that for Fulham to be a half-decent fixture. And I think Muniz, if you do have him, I think he's a great play.
Yep, fair enough. All right, let's talk about Arsenal and Manchester City as well. Now, both of them have big European fixture next week. So do we expect to see some rotation? Now, obviously, they haven't played in Game Week 31 as well. By the time we, obviously, they're playing tonight, so we'll see whether there is rotation tonight as well, potentially. But with City playing Real Madrid, I think that's away, if I'm not mistaken, and Arsenal playing Bayern. Do we expect to see some level of rotation? Because the opponents they're facing aren't hard, per se.
I think there might be some rotation, but I don't think it's going to be mass rotation. It might be one or two players. It might be like a Grealish over an Alvarez, or I think the key players like Foden, Haaland are going to be starting. I think KDB will get rotated. I think their defensive line, they seem to keep their center pairing pretty consistent, but you might see a Rico Lewis, you know, get a start or something like that. But I think with just what's at stake in the league at the moment, Liverpool is still winning, Arsenal is still winning. They're going to have to kind of just hope that they can get through these fixtures playing pretty much nearly full strength Champions League as well as the league. But I think there might be a couple of slight rotations, but I don't think like the important players like your Foden and your Haaland, I think are going to start. As long as they're fit, I think they'll start both.
Fair enough. And I've had the captaincy next, but before that, let's kind of touch on like Crystal Palace, because they have the double in 34. But the next two are tough ones against City and Liverpool. So if you're looking for, I guess, Palace players, or I know some people on a wildcard got Eze as well. Start Eze or maybe bench him. What would be the case?
Depending on what your squad depth's like, because, yeah, City's a pretty tough fixture. And I was actually hoping for a bit more from Palace, but they just lacked a little bit of a bite. But I think people will be looking at the free hit 34. I think he's a must on the free hit in 34. Wild cards, I think their fixtures, apart from the Liverpool and City fixtures, they're actually pretty decent. I think they can get something out of most of these fixtures. I was having a quick look now. So, you know, the Man United fixture, I wouldn't say he's a hard fixture either. We've just spoken about the injuries to Martinez and Lindelof. So I think we defend like a mid-table club, and, you know, that's just what it is, and which makes teams go at us, but it also, as I've said in previous pods on our show, is that it's good for United attackers because we can counter.
Yep.
But I think we're still vulnerable defensively. And, you know, I think the player like Eze, he seems to in attack sit higher, almost like a second striker at times there. He was sitting almost even with Mateta up top there, which is great for FPL, because if he's in or around the box, he's either getting shots off or he's playing those key passes. So I think he's a good pick, but I think it just depends on squad depth, whether you can bench him. But, you know, I don't think it's the worst thing that you're starting. Like we've seen last year, there was a couple of hard fixtures where I was going to bench him, but I didn't have the squad depth, so I just played him, and then he managed to get a goal or an assist against a Man City or a Liverpool. So,
yep,
can enough. Happen.
Yep, fair enough. Cool. Now, let's end it with, like, captaincy. Some really great options this week. Where are you in terms of the armband?
I've actually got it on Son at the moment.
Interesting.
So for me, I had Son as the number one pick. Then I've got Palmer second, Salah third, and then I've had to chuck in Haaland, I think is, you know, an obvious pick.
Yeah.
just because it's Haaland. Yeah. But I think like Spurs record's actually pretty decent. So I could definitely see a fixture where I think if anyone didn't watch the Spurs fixture on the weekend, Son was just Salah 2.0, missing chances after chances. I think he had a clear shot from like the 6-yard box and hit the post. Like he was just like, he was trying not to score. And I feel like that fixture could be something where instead of missing those chances, he could easily finish with 2 goals and an assist.
Yeah, that's the one because I sold him this week and I wasn't worried about this week. It's the Forest fixture that I'm really worried about.
Yeah, and Forest are going to have to go on the attack because they're trying to bank as many points as possible, which I guess I didn't put that into the thinking when I was analysing Fulham versus Nottingham Forest. I was kind of like, well, Forest hasn't looked great, but I didn't look at the fact that they need to keep getting points because obviously they're going to be deducted points. Everton have been deducted points, so they're kind of fighting to stay out of relegation.
Yeah, exactly. Fair enough. So we'll kind of wait and see on that. For me, I obviously don't have Son. So I've been contemplating between Salah and Palmer. Now, Palmer is like just a bully against like the bottom teams. He has some like great returns from the bottom teams. Meanwhile, we know Salah just finds a way to score against United every time he faces them. So I'm like, okay, where do I actually go? I still haven't really decided where. It's basically a flip of the switch, a flip of the a coin. So I'm like kind of waiting to see if do I go with Palmer, do I go Salah. I could, the Haaland is also another option, but I'm trying to play differential to try and claw down some mini league leads. So if everyone is most likely going Haaland or Salah, then I probably might go Palmer for this specific one. But yeah,
I like Palmer. I think he's a good option.
Fair enough.
And Chelsea have a good record as well.
That's true. So we'll see. Maybe he does well. But obviously, we'll have to wait and see what happens because they get to play Chelsea. So let's see what happens first against United. And if they look good, I think most likely, definitely going to Palmer. All right. Now, that's basically all I've got. Short episode because we're still in the middle of the fixture. So there's so much still up in the air. Like injuries could happen. Anything could happen.
I feel like there's going to be so much movement in the rankings from tomorrow and Friday just because people are going double Arsenal defense. People are going double Arsenal attack like yourself. People are going triple City still. So, yeah, I feel like it's going to be nervous watching like these people with all these players that I don't have.
Yeah, fair enough. There's a lot to happen more. So we'll kind of wait and see what happens. And yeah, that's basically all I've got. So thank you, Q, for your time today. Do you have anything to plug?
Just our podcast, head over to FOMH as well as with Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. Podcasts pretty much on all streaming platforms apart from YouTube. So we should have an episode out, I'd say, late Thursday night Australia time, which would be sort of morning to lunchtime UK time. But yeah, and then head over to imindsets.com.au if you're in Australia. They do gym apparel, pre-workouts, they support our podcast, and you can use our, you know, code word fantasy amateurs for a discount off any of their products.
Awesome. And you can find me, Football Chatbox, on YouTube, where I do weekly videos and deadline streams. I think I'm 9 subscribers or something away from 700 subs. So do come over and check the channel out and make sure to subscribe as well. And if you reached up to this point, make sure you hit the like button here and subscribe as well. That's it for this week's Scout the Game Week. I will be back after Game Week 32. And looking ahead to Game Week 33, Green Aerosol.